welcome to my hearth. Over the last few episodes, we've been looking at all the elements of Odysseys and how important they were in storytelling. And I did say that we were going to be quite controversial with this particular episode. We're asking the question, is the life of Christ, as depicted in the Bible, an odyssey? That asks a major question itself. Did the people who wrote the Gospels, the good news, of the life of Christ, know what an odyssey was? Had they been exposed to Greek influence in their lifetimes? The Greek culture was really important in those particular biblical times, and especially in relation to the Romans, who were very into Greek storytelling. People often ask, how were the Romans able to govern and rule such a huge empire? And one of the things they did was wherever they invaded and colonised, they assimilated, took into their lifestyle the local customs of wherever they had invaded. And they gradually made the locals think that their customs were in fact Roman. That's why for every Greek god there is a Roman equivalent. I know it has a different name, but it's extremely similar. There is a Roman equivalent of the Odyssey, which is called the Aeneid. It has some major differences, which makes it more Roman, but in essence, it's the same. So the Middle East was saturated with the storytelling from both Greek and Rome. Now, the Gospel writers had such an important and complex story to tell that obviously they're going to try and write it in a way that it would relate to the people that were reading it or listening to it. And what better way than to write it in a format that local people would understand? Firstly, there is a definite hero. There's a central character that the whole story is about. The challenges that he meets are physical, emotional, and spiritual, and therefore fulfill the criteria of the way the Greeks would tell a story. In each of the categories, the story changes the hero. Like Odysseus, the hero speaks to a spiritual being. Now, in this case, of course, it's God. But the dialogue with a spiritual being is in the style of the Odyssey. They have a conversation. The hero literally gets inspiration from the spiritual being. Just like Odysseus, the hero is not working to a formula. For each problem, there is a different solution. And like Odysseus, Jesus is very left field. You can't predict what he is going to do. You are just amazed and surprised at what he does. Because he is using the inspiration and strength of God, he is not working, as it were, in human terms. That's the same as Odysseus. Obviously, Odysseus is not a god, but he is in direct communication with a god. Moreover, Jesus is in human form. Therefore, he is tempted with all the possibilities of being human. And we are told that he encounters all of those temptations. Here's a major difference, as you would expect. Odysseus is only human, so in fact, he succumbs to all the temptations and makes loads of mistakes. Jesus understands what the human temptations are, but overcomes them. Part of Jesus' journey is to understand what it is to be human. In that way, he can fulfill his mission to redeem humanity. Odysseus uses his story to understand what it is to have a relationship with a god. Jesus uses his journey to understand what it is to have a relationship with humanity. To do this, he associates with and surrounds himself with, in fact, people who would, in normal terms, be outcasts from the society in which he is living. Tax collectors, prostitutes, working class people. The poor, the lame, the crippled, the blind. Odysseus very often meets the other, as we've said in a previous podcast. Jesus also meets the other, but it's a human the other. Because Jesus is in direct connection to God, each miracle that he performs is different. Another difference here, each miracle that Jesus performs blesses people. In Odysseus' case, it's all about survival, and sometimes people get hurt in the process. Is there a definite villain in each case? Yes, of course there is, because in the Odyssey, it's the god Poseidon. In the Bible, it's the devil. He used to be an angel, but he is fallen. The devil cannot create. He can only destroy. The devil tells lies. We're told he's the father of lies. But because of who he is, or more importantly, who he was, he knows how to have conversations with Christ, and he knows how to tempt him and what to tempt him with. The devil always uses knowledge against people. He cannot bless, he can only tempt. Also, his promises are always conditional. If you do this, I will give you this. God works in the opposite spirit, saying, it doesn't matter what you've done, I will still give you this. It's unconditional love. Now, what did the devil look like? We did an episode about iconography, and obviously what a character looks like conveys meaning. Now, the medieval church wanted to discredit any worship of the Greek god Dionysus. He was the god who was half man, half goat. He was the god of excess and drunkenness and sexual immorality. Not a good look for the medieval church. Because he was half goat, his lower half, his feet, were cloven hooves, and he had horns. Medieval devils looked like that. I don't know about you, but if a spiritual being wandered in that was half man, half goat, I would run screaming. I wouldn't worship them. In reality, Lucifer was an angel of light and fire, Lucifer. He had rainbows coming out of his eyes. He looked amazing and beautiful. He looked like the kind of god that you would want to worship. That's much more subtle. In the end, you'll only know if it is a devil, because they cannot tell the truth. The devil confuses people and takes them in by using lies. Jesus in the Bible has to battle against the devil, and he does so by telling the truth. Now, one of the main elements of the original Odyssey is that it is a journey that Odysseus is going on, and throughout Christ's life he is going on journeys. By travelling about, he meets the situations that he is supposed to. He has encounters, he has appointments. He wouldn't meet these situations if he just stayed put. He is born in Bethlehem as a result of his parents undergoing a journey. When the baby is threatened by Herod, the family journey into Egypt to protect him. His journey takes him through amazing situations and encounters until eventually, after his death and resurrection, he ascends into heaven. His ultimate destination. He has returned home. Now, the other huge element of an Odyssey is the hero having a crew around him. And of course, so does Jesus. He has his disciples. They all have their different qualities, but ultimately, they are supporters of Jesus. They travel with him on the journey and help him achieve his goals. They cannot do what he does, because ultimately, they're not connected to God, they're not a spiritual being. Odysseus's crew could not do what Odysseus did, because Odysseus was in direct contact with the goddess. Jesus is in contact with God, and therefore his inspiration is personal. The big difference, of course, is that as the story progresses, and as the Holy Spirit appears, then the disciples themselves can make use of the inspiration of God. What is special, of course, as we've already said, is that the disciples are not ordinary people. They are not courtiers supporting a king. They are ordinary people. They are flawed people who are working with Jesus. Now, the fact that one of the disciples is the ultimate betrayer of Jesus only serves to underline the disciples' humanity. When Judas betrays Jesus, it's because he's been tempted and he cannot rebuke the devil and step away from the situation. But because of that, it ultimately destroys him and he commits suicide. He cannot live with what he has done. Very often in an Odyssey-type story, there will be someone who betrays the hero in whichever way possible. The final and, of course, most important point is that the hero in the Bible, Jesus, has to sacrifice himself to reach his ultimate goal. Sacrifice is often an element of the hero's journey, but it's not usually the hero that sacrifices themselves to achieve the goal. If you take a film like Armageddon, where there are space people trying to stop a comet hitting the Earth, they are obviously on a journey, it's an odyssey. They eventually sacrifice themselves to achieve their goal. I hope you've enjoyed noticing some of the parallels in the way the story of Jesus is told with the Odyssey. Remember that the story of Jesus himself is probably one of the most influential stories in Western civilization. It's often called the greatest story ever told. And we'll start to look at its influence on storytelling next time.